River of words. Exodus. Moses stuttered. He was inarticulate, the tongue clove to the roof of his mouth. He was hopeless with language. His words always meant nothing. And even when he did utter words, they stumbled and tripped and broke apart. The stuttering fool, Aaron called him. Yet despite his long disability, Moses found a way to give Pharaoh words, words of warning, words of power, words from God. The Pharaoh chose to discard those words, or misunderstand those words, or misinterpret those words, or merely to think that Moses was lying. That's the problem with language. It's so easily twisted around, so easily found to be wanting and expressing what is real, what our hearts really need to hear. Fake news, we cry, when we don't want to hear something hard, something painful, something true. And so the Pharaoh, in his arrogant act of closing his ears, was visited by an angel. The angel did not pass over his house. The angel came. The angel stayed. The angel sat on his child's chest until his child's lungs failed. The angel took his child's breath, ounce by ounce, until all air was gone. His child's life was snuffed out. Pharaoh woke to a dead son and a grieving nation. He woke to pain and suffering and death. These are things that can't be fully captured in words, can't be sewed up in convenient envelopes of language. They are too deep, too hard, too much for words to hold. Words break open under such pressure. Words are inadequate to real grief. There was nothing that could be said, nothing to redeem Pharaoh's child's life. The angel was gone, could no longer be bargained with. So the Pharaoh, wordless, struck dumb, said, "Go." He sent the Israelites out of his kingdom. They fled, following Moses' words. They came to the shore of a vast horizon of water. They came to what is commonly called the Red Sea, but in Hebrew is known as Yam Suf, the Sea of Reeds. You might remember that these same reeds were used, or still used, by Egyptians to make the first paper, papyrus. The Sea of Reeds, the sea that makes papyrus. In fact, this very Sea of Reeds is the place where white pith is extracted from the triangular stalk of the reed plant that grows in freshwater in northern Egypt. This, in fact, is the very place where all ancient texts were first birthed. This sea is the birthplace of language itself. Imagine this intrepid group of travelers stalking out of the sand and confronting white paper, vast as the ocean, crisscrossed with symbols, echoing with language. How would you cross that terrible terrain of cryptograms etched into the ancient sky? And they confronted right then and there that terrible dichotomy brought about at the Tower of Babel, when human language was confused and all became chaotic because we still can't understand one another. When the Israelites halted there, they were halted, as we all are, by that great barrier between us made of words, the colossal, error-prone, misinterpreted sea of language itself. Today, we float in the same water. We live in the world of chaos constructed of language, fake news, gaslighting, mansplaining, emoticons, mistranslation, and all the violence done to others because of words that mean only God and love embodied, Allah and Christ. Here are what human beings are like. We weave a web of words like a spider and live in it and call it world. Today we are confronted by that vast abyss of language that creates division, that destroys our ability to move forward, to find sustenance, to enjoy all that God has given us. We are blocked by a river of words, a sea of destructive language, a bottomless abyss of misunderstanding. Moses knew the future. Now the words caught again in Moses' mouth when he saw the barrier that will hold them back. He stuttered. He pondered. He knew the future. We know the future. Moses will stamp his staff. The staff will break. All the people will drown in the Red Sea. The survivors will be enslaved again. People will die because of a sea of lies from the White House. A baby will be killed by Herod's purge. No savior will ever come. A man dies on a cross and worms eat his flesh. There is no resurrection. Yet despite the weight of language that held Moses back, despite the entire absence of any bridge to the other side, Moses stamped his staff that day. He closed his eyes. He sang the song of invocation, the Kwarah Besem Yahweh. Why did he do this? What rose in his heart beyond reason, beyond language, beyond words? Something rose in him. Something that spoke to our deep human longing. Something that said we are more than this weak vehicle of stumbling, stuttering language. Hope. Always there is hope. Even when words hold us back, understanding limits us, powers of logic make us inarticulate and weak, even then there is still hope. The words that describe our reality, one of death, one of paranoia, one of destruction, that's not the whole world. That's not all there is. There is always hope. There is always love. And in this story, at the Sea of Reeds, where language was first birthed, confronted by that vast white spectacle, a sealed, babelous confusion of words and language, a destructive ocean of endless online content. At that moment, there was something that broke a crack in language itself. Parable. See, the deep parables confront our expectation and soften our hearts to hear a deeper truth. As the theologian John Dominic Crossan wrote in his little book, The Dark Interval, the Christ story breaks open our expectations, destroys our preconceptions. The parables of Christ prefigure the breakdown in our expectations and our understandings. The cracks and rifts in the parable of the Bible confront our very understanding of reality. Things don't happen in language, they happen in our hearts. Could a lost people find a home? Could people walk on dry land through an ocean? Could a virgin give birth? Could a man rise from the grave? Could we live in harmony, in love, in justice, in peace? I cannot use language fully to capture this hope. But in the beginning was the Word.